Here we are. We get cameras are here. You know, there's no holding back. Tell you gotta t say how you feel about everybody and let the chips fall where they may. If I don't think highly of my ex, that means I made a wrong decision to begin with. We all make mistakes, boy, do we. And we'll continue to make them. It'll never end.
The episode you're listening to on the Men of the Hour is brought to you by Alice Mushrooms. All right, here's the thing about mushrooms I've learned over the past couple of days, if not the past couple of years, is that the right ones like lion's mane, reishi, cordyceps, I mean, there's so many ones out there that they're starting to infuse into things like gummies and powders and potions and things of that sort. But this particular company is starting to take mushrooms into the chocolate world, and it is so fun to watch these amazing founders do just that. I do know one thing for sure about the mushroom space is that if you start taking them in the right ways at the right time, they can be really beneficial for you. Alice Mushrooms was born out of a desire to give people what neither a pharmaceutical industry nor supplements have provided, and that's safe, effective consumables that pair long-term benefits with immediate boosts of cognitive functioning. Their decadent chocolate treats combine the best organic fruiting body mushrooms with the best nootropics and adaptogens. This union pairs long-term benefits of mushrooms with the immediate effects of the nootropics and keeps you on your journey into the delights of fungi. And the result, of course, an indulgent daily routine that's good for you and only gets better with time. I want you all to try these chocolates so bad and let me know what you think about it, whether you snag a bundle of their energy and focus chocolates or their sleep chocolates. I don't swear by a lot of things these days, but I definitely swear by Alice Mushrooms. So try them for yourself today by heading to alicemushrooms.com and using my code Justin20 for 20% off at checkout. That's alicemushrooms.com and use the code Justin20 for 20% off at checkout. Everyone, we're back, and it's so exciting because on this podcast, you'd imagine we probably tried to bring as many guests on as possible, and right now I got Shep Rose. You've seen him on Southern Charm. Think about Southern Gentlemanship. That's exactly what happened when he first got aired on that show a long time ago. It's become a very popular show on Bravo, and they're back now, and we'll share more with you guys about what's been happening on the show itself, but right now, Shep said yes to coming on this podcast, and I just prefaced by saying, listen, it's a men's mental health podcast, and he just got done telling me he was golfing with some of his buddies who are now sober, and I know that experience has to be a lot, especially when they weren't sober, right? And there's some questions I have about that for sure. But more importantly, you have been in the limelight for a very long time. So my biggest question for you, and where we'll start, is your life's changed, right? I mean, since getting on a reality show, that doesn't just happen overnight for folks, and to be in a very popular world like Bravo, you know, Bravo, right? Where BravoCon is now a thing, where like all these people that are so interested in your life day in and day out want to come see you at a convention center. So I guess to start, you think about how much your life has changed since being on that show. Talk to us about that.
Nice to meet you. And
too, man.
I am more than happy to talk about anything under the sun, honestly. And, you know, love the show. The show's been good to me. It's been a long journey, but I'm a man of many passions and opinions. And so let's get going. I mean, I guess let me address your question. It's been wild. And I said this at BravoCon, when someone, a girl from the audience asked a question, and essentially paraphrasing, it was, you know, do you feel, and I don't think she's talking to me, but she might as well have been, she was, so do you feel as you're getting older, or as y'all are getting older, that you're going to age out of the show? And I thought for a second, and I took the question. I was like, listen, I think the secret sauce to our show, or one of the ingredients, is that it's people from different age groups and different phases of their lives. I mean, when we started the thing, Thomas Ravenel, the infamous T-Rav, you know, he was in his 50s and he was, you know, he tried to run for governor on national television, or senator or something. And, you know, Whitney's in a different age bracket. When I started, I was 33. I'm 44 now. Austin and or Craig was original. Craig was 24, just out of law school. So you've seen us basically grow up or try to grow up, some more successfully than others. And from season to season, it can be ups and downs and missteps and stumbles and return to glory, things of that nature.
And we've all seen it too. I mean, reality TV is just one of those parts of the industry for people's entertainment. And you hear it day in and day out, people are like, okay, well, I'm watching this television show because it's my escape, right? But then there are points too, which is another question I wanted to pose to you, which is like, sometimes you can't escape that. Has there ever been a moment where you wanted to leave Southern Charm and just get out of the reality TV show world, and why?
Yes, of course. Well, if you have a particular season where you just feel like the weight of the world, and here's what you learn over time. It's only really important to a very small number of people. What's the saying? Your reputation is what strangers think of you. Your character is what the people who love you know about you, or hopefully know about you. And so, yeah, I mean, sometimes even before this last season, my relationship was on camera with Taylor, and it was a rocky, rocky season, and I didn't like it. She didn't like it. And I really was like, I don't think I want to do this anymore. But you know, it's funny there's just enough time for you to sort of forget your anxieties and your frustrations. And I must say, it's fun to film. It just is. It's a several month process, and it's like back in the saddle again kind of thing. And then honestly, you meet people, Justin, who are at BravoCon or on the street, who say to you, your show helps, you know, my mom was sick with cancer, and we watched your show three times all season, all episodes, three times over in the hospital. And it gave us so, and I mean, I know that's a specific instance, but then you're like, oh, okay. And, you know, I've said this before. I know I was a snob before I started on this journey about entertainment. Wes Anderson films are really the only comedies for me, kind of thing. even though I love Dumb and Dumber and Ace Ventura and stuff like that, don't get me wrong. But and I definitely probably looked down my nose and scoffed at reality TV. But even though we sort of were on the, well, anyways. So now what I've learned, amongst a lot of things, is that entertainment in any form is important to people. And it's an escape to people, or a solve. Maybe they work two jobs and are in traffic for 2 hours and have kids that they have to cook dinner for. They put them to bed, they put on Bravo, and that what makes them very happy, and it gets them through their life. There's something beautiful about that.
So I was almost hoping you were going to share something like that, if not twofold, right? You have the experience at BravoCon, and then you also just have the acknowledgement in your head, like, hey, we know this is exactly what happens to people when they are watching our show. That's the beauty in it. Now for you though, you bring up the word escape. I mean, how do you escape even mentally into all of this, right? Into your own world. You mentioned golfing with your buddies. That has to be one way, but you know, when you're not working and you're not on, you know, what's Shep doing?
Travel, yeah. 100% without a hesitation. When last season ended, we got done filming, and you're now watching it on TV. A couple weeks later, was in Scandinavia by myself. I went to Copenhagen, and then for like a week, and then I went to Oslo, and then Stockholm, and then I met Austin and Whitney in Mykonos. So I was gone for a month. I've never felt more. I become a child again when I'm traveling, and everything's new, and you meet people who, you know, it could go nowhere. You could exchange information and meet their friends, and you just never know. And traveling alone was something when I was in my 20s, I would have said, no way, I'd go with my buddies. Right. It is so cool and so fun. Of course, it's nice to like have touchstones in each place where you have a friend of a friend, and that's fun too. And not I recommend that, but just spending time alone with yourself, and you think about things, and you come up, you hatch ideas, and maybe these are usually nothing, but your mind is percolating essentially, and because everything's new and cool and fresh, it's like a painting, an empty canvas.
Heard it well last night too. You bring up a really good point, which is this idea of like finding your vice. It seems like you've always been this way, which I have another question about. You become a kid again when you travel, right? It's very important to note that. Not just you, but for a lot of people, they have to find that almost outlet, right? And you hear it from a lot of people these days that when you have all this bottled up energy, you can't just like do it in a couple of weeks of filming a show, or a couple months rather, for you on Southern Charm. It's like, no, I do have to find my own ways of doing that. Have you always been that way, where you have all of this energy? I felt like Craig was the same way when I met him. It's like you have all this energy and you do have to find ways to kind of channel it. Sounds like for you, it's by traveling, meeting strangers, and then kind of getting back to kid zone.
Yeah, I mean, man, I'm probably the original ADHD patient zero. My mom tells a funny story. She's like, "Yeah, when you were in the fourth grade, we sent you. We knew something was wrong with you, or we knew you were a little different." And they took me to a doctor, and I took a test. Little did I know that it was like a two-way mirror. I was being observed taking a test. And after the test, they said to my mom, "We have good news and bad news." "And what's the good news?" "Good news is he did very well on the test." "What's the bad news?" "Well, he laid underneath the table and like plastered the test, and I was on my back and I took the test underneath the table." Like, they're like, "We've never seen that before. Like, no medical journal has ever told it. Like, that is absolutely insane." And so that was my beginning of my journey with Ritalin and Adderall, and I hated it, for what it's worth. I got a lot done, but I would, I was, I, it, it made me unsocial and irritable. And for example, like math class, I would be over and it was like lunchtime and I'd be like, "Well, what about that?" And the teacher was like, "Look, I got a smoke break. Like, get the hell out of here." And I would go into the cafeteria and my friends were like, "Come sit with us." And I was like, "No." And I'd sit by myself and like just sort of like try to figure out what I didn't understand in the previous math class. Does that mean it works? I guess so, because I certainly had ADD, like by any definition, ADHD. But I just didn't like the fact that people take it recreationally and go out is insane. Like, I hate people. When I take it, I'm like way into my head. So, anyway.
Yeah, I mean, right. So, like, the lesser of two evils, right? And then, even the medication aside, it's like you kind of had to understand, like, this was your way of working, or like at that time taking tests, you know? And then it's had to have benefited you, though. I think a lot of people these days, we give ADD and ADHD such a bad name, but even in the world of mental health, it's like, no, there's ways to like definitely cope with that and make sure that it's being brought out in you in a good, healthy way, right? So, for you, when you're thinking about, I guess aside from the show, even when you're working on these other projects and your other business adventures too, like how is that serving you, having this, like, you call it ADD, of course, but at the same time, just like a lot of energy that's bottled up and your attention kind of splits between a couple places at once.
Yeah, I mean, I creatively, I have some like short bursts of ideas or sort of plans, and then like I can kind of get halfway down the road and then abandon it. Like, that's sort of my MO. But
Good for new business development. There you go. That's what I've always been
yeah.
told.
Look, I mean, we all have our strengths and weaknesses, and I think the most important thing is know thyself and try to surround yourself with people that can pick up the slack or so anyway, yeah.
You know, I want to talk about this new season of Southern Charm here for just a moment. If you have to think about why you've
You
stayed
have
in the
to.
reality.
I'm kidding.
Please don't bring all that back, Justin. No, I mean, Shep, think about it. You've stayed in the game for so long. That's about a decade, you've already told us. And I've already asked the question, like, why'd you stay in it, right? Obviously, there's something to it where there's like some value add for you, even to know that people are touched by the show. People love watching you, they love going through your life with you. And then knowing that inherently, right? What was the best part of the season where you were able to tell yourself, like, yeah, it's not as bad, even if a bunch of this shit, you know, got blown up out of proportion or drama here, drama there. But like, you think about why you stayed into the reality show game at all. What was your favorite part of the season?
Well, I seem to have stayed out of the muck and the mire. I jokingly say I for once have the moral high ground. And I'm quick not to wag my finger down at, you know, from that high ground, because I hate those people. And those are the biggest hypocrites of them all. Can't stand hypocrites. We all make mistakes, boy, do we. And we'll continue to make them. It'll never end. There's no nirvana. I guess some Buddhists can reach enlightenment and like that's the pinnacle. But anyways, and so I went into the season, you know, single and trying to repair the relationship I had with Taylor in the best way that I could, because I really, really care about her, and I will always really, really care about her. I'll always love her, and I love her family, and we were very, very close. So I know it's some women and maybe some men, but would say, oh, well, you just want to, you know, have your cake and eat it too, which I don't like that expression, but I'm trying to you just want to be friends after something, you know, failed. I was like, yeah, I think that's, and Craig, for example, like he doesn't think that's possible. He doesn't think you can be friends with your exes. I think that's just dead wrong. If I'm not friends with, or if I don't think highly of my ex, that means I made a wrong decision to begin with. I've already saw the wonderfulness in them, and I decided to spend a chunk of my life with them. I know it gets complicated and feelings do, but I desperately wanted to be able to speak with her and confide in her and vice versa and show support and love. Although I know that's like, yeah, I can hear people thinking, oh, well, that's like a mind fuck for somebody. And I get it. I get that part, but that doesn't mean that I can't, you can't convince me that I want something else, because that's what I want. I want to be supportive and helpful in any way I can. And people who have added to my life, added my mosaic or my tapestry of my life. I think that that's beautiful. And I want to honor those people as best I can. And I know it gets tricky, feelings, emotions and things, but that's what I come out.
We have a lot to learn from you, Shep. I think, listen, I don't always give my opinion on the show, if ever. I completely agree with you. I think that if you've been in a relationship, there's nothing wrong with, what do they call it, peacefully parting ways and continuing to support each other. And you say feelings and emotions twice here. And I think that something that's really important to remember is that even whether or not it's a reality show, like this was your real life and you guys were definitely together, right? And like, that's a big part of your life to spend that much time with one person. So much so that there should never be anything wrong with that. But what was her take on all of it in terms of how she received you wanting to kind of part ways in that way?
Well, I got to hand it to the show. But Naomi, who used to be on the show, said the show is like a therapist on acid. Because what it did, or what it does, is it forces you to deal with an issue or a conflict. There's no running, there's no hiding. So Taylor and I she wasn't speaking to me, and then we started filming, and it threw us into a shoebox and rattled it around. But we said what we needed to say. We saw each other's point of view. And so I got to hand it to the show. I really do. It's a beautiful thing. It can be harrowing. It can be stress inducing, but you have to tackle and face some dark things that you might sweep under the carpet otherwise.
I like that you say you handed it to the show, because like a lot of times people would say the opposite. They would almost say, you know what? That show manipulated the shit out of that situation and I'm mad. But you give honor to that, right? Because I think that at the same time, this was allowing you guys to really get through probably one of the hardest parts of your life.
Justin, nobody can manipulate me.
Yeah, chef's like, not in my world.
No. I mean,
not even the math teacher, right? When you're taking the test.
That's right. I pay homage to the show, no doubt. And you know, they don't need, you know, they're doing their job, and their job is to encourage and spur, you know, dialogue, and if it even, especially if it's uncomfortable, or if you're reticent to do it. And I honor that by understanding that. We've done 9 seasons now. I get it. I mean, I totally get it. I got it after, you know, arguably 1 or 2 seasons. I said, okay, here we are. We get cameras are here. Everyone, it's time. You know, there's no holding back. You got to say how you feel about everybody and let the chips fall where they may. And I told other cast members, you know, don't get mad at me after the fact, because I'm not going to lie about you, but I'll say what I think, and it might suck, and you might think I'm a jerk, but in life without cameras, I mean, how much gossip and backbiting is there? It's everywhere. I'd rather have it out in the open. How do you really feel? And so that's the therapist on acid aspect of it.
I've never heard it said that way. And I mean, listen, I've indulged in some reality TV. If you're listening, you also have, especially if you're coming from Shep's side of the house and you watch the actual show itself. I've never heard it said that way. And that's actually, it's powerful in the sense that, like, yes, you are a castmate on a show, yet to find the truth in saying the actual effing truth, right? Like, you think of how many times, and I do want your take on this too. I know we only have so many moments left, but you think about other reality shows and just other programs, right? Like, again, this is a very particular type of television because it's not manufactured like a show or a movie or the 90210 back in the day. Like, that's just not how it is. It's a different type of entertainment. But I've never heard anyone say it like that. So then how did you come to that POV of like, okay, after season 1 or 2, like, all right, it's all or nothing. Number 1, number 2, like, everything is the truth. And if it's not, then like, were you going to dip if not?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's little things, but they add up. So, you know, let's say early on when you were trying to be protective of yourself, or, you know, fashion a certain image of yourself, which is totally normal. You know, like, I get it. But then you find out that the camera never lies, and that the audience is way more perceptive than you think. And it just pays in life and definitely on TV. Be yourself, be completely 100% genuine, tell the truth, even if it's ugly. And then that coupled with the fact that, you know, and this is something little that adds up. So let's say we're filming, and the night before something pissed you off, or there was a conflict, and the next day you get a phone call from the person, or you call them, and I just say, I hang up. I eventually was like, no, we can't do this in private. Like, this, we owe it to the show to show our lives for this 3 months at least and really tackle it. And so you learn that, and that's honoring the show, and that's honoring Bravo, honestly, is really being a completely open book when they're around. Otherwise, what the hell are we all doing here, you know? So that's a lesson I learned, and I try to impart that to other cast members who are maybe new. I'm like, you got to save it. Like, I don't want to hear it. It'd be like when you and I are talking before you're recording. You're like, I was like, well, this is good. Like, let's get this, you know?
You're not the first person to say that, but you're exactly right. Right.
Don't talk before the recording, especially, you know, just for these 3 months. And that's something that I'm very passionate about, because I want the best out of our show too. And the best out of our show is realness, rawness, honesty. And that's why we've done 9 seasons.
Gosh, it's so interesting. I was like, well, if Shep's going to come onto this podcast, I do have some reality show questions. And I didn't think it was going to go this way, because that's like not normal for reality TV. People are always saying reality TV is so fake. You just proved
No.
us otherwise.
Yeah, it's. I mean, it's not. I mean, who people who say that. My counter to that is, well, yeah. I mean, and I could go back to what I said. I mean, sometimes you wouldn't say what you really think about said person because you just walk the other direction and life is easier, right? We can't do that. Well, that's not what we're doing here. So that's the only thing that's a little off kilter from what you would normally do. So, but I just I but again, I think it's beneficial. I mean, if you ask if you I think it's really helpful a lot of the times. And you know, the bad seasons you spit on the ground and wish you hadn't done or said something. But you know, there's always a new episode. There's and you know, the backlash and the online vitriol is these are really sad people. They're just they're, you know, the real fan's the one who gets it, you know what I mean? And understands life basically. I'm not saying so you just got to keep that in mind. So when you make a misstep, even if it's on TV or otherwise, if it's in your private life, you'd screw up online or, you know, a post that's insensitive or you just have to remember that, like, the people that that's very important to and get all bent out of shape are not people that are all that important, shouldn't be all that important to you, you know?
Lessons from Shep. You got any projects working right now that you're excited about? I feel like there's something in 24 where you're like, hey, I've been thinking about doing this for a long time. Anything itch, like pretty much itching under, some of the, even if it's a project you want to start and not finish, man, I'm there with you. I have ADHD. It's
Fucking
bad.
hundred. Yeah, like too many to tell, and none of them will ever make it to the finish line. No. I'm actually in talks with a friend of mine who's in the news world. She's very talented, very smart, and about doing a podcast. I did a podcast and I hated it. It was just me and the people who did the podcast, like, were not good at getting guests. And it was like a weight around on my shoulders. I had to pump this thing out. So, and I was running around a lot and just didn't want, it's a job, man. I mean, I all respect to you. You got things to do. You got to record this stuff or else, you know what? And I was in LA.
Yeah.
I just eaten lunch on Sunset Boulevard. Guys were like, hey, come to Riviera, play some golf. And I had the studio space, and my comedian friend Jenny Johnson, who's amazing, she was agreed to do it with me. I was like, oh, this is gonna be fun. Well, she has a life, and she has things she's trying to do, and she wasn't answering her phone. I was stressed as hell, and I just called my agent. I was like, this is enough. Like, I'm going to play golf. I don't want to deal with this ever again.
Felt
So that's
stressful.
I'm ready to get back into that pond a little bit, and we're gonna see how that goes. I have an idea for a TV show that would be amazing. A reality, sort of a Anthony Bourdain meets Wild Boys from you know, the Jackass
Oh,
guys.
yeah.
That would be amazing. I know it would. I've got that all written up. I'm working on a scripted idea that I have. We'll see where that goes. Could go nowhere. I wrote a pilot. Like 6 years, so 7 years ago, about a small film, a film crew that goes to a small southern town to film a reality show. So it was like a play about play within the play, and I pitched that around, but I didn't know what the hell I was doing, and so that didn't go anywhere. So it's easy to get discouraged, but you know, as any writer or anybody creative would tell you, keep just more ideas, more ideas,
Numbers
more.
game.
Yeah, and I've
I
got
bet
some
you.
friends I'm working with that I'm excited with. This is funny. So two or three episodes ago, we were in the kitchen in my parents' kitchen, our mountain house, and I was cooking, we were cooking, and I was cooking Velveeta shells and cheese. I love Velveeta shells and cheese. My whole childhood, I could eat a whole damn pot of that, and I was a happy boy. And I said it was my death row meal. Well, Velveeta has now contacted my management about a possible thing. Isn't that amazing?
That's right. That's how you
Yeah.
get it.
Yeah, so funny.
We're gonna look out for the commercial ads where you have to like really bring up Death Row as a creative piece
Yeah,
of
oh, that would
content.
be good. I'm
That'd
like,
be scary,
behind
Shadow.
bars. I'm behind bars. I'm like, bring some more, bring some more.
Hey, it could be really interesting.
Yeah.
One thing that you've hit on, and we have moments here, but you know, I think of this bigger picture of this conversation. Yes, I was so curious to interview you because I was like, I've never chatted with Shap. If you're anything like Craig, I know I'll love you, and I knew that.
Nothing alike. I mean, nothing alike.
Correct,
I
not
love
right.
him. That's why the show works. I mean, we couldn't be two more different human beings on the
Energy,
face.
I will say energy-wise, you guys are quite on par, just
Yes,
in terms of like, right,
oh,
that's what I
yeah.
meant. And anyway, like as you break down the reality TV world and you know the note you made about like taking your test under the desk, all these things are just you. And I appreciate you for bringing yourself to this podcast. You make this podcasting thing very easy. So I would like my only thing with you with your upcoming projects, the reason I asked is take that with it, right? Like that's very inspiring that you're like, yeah, I did that, didn't work, next, you know? And that's funny that like even today we've had several conversations on the recordings of this show where it is a numbers game. There ain't nothing wrong with that. Go after as many things as you want. So anybody listening, as you follow Shep below, and you know he's obviously like got the new season of Southern Charm out with the entire cast on Bravo, which I'll have linked below as well. But you guys got to think about this bigger picture of the conversation here, which is you are you. You've brought you to everything that you get to do, and yeah, you're passionate about the fact that reality TV should be real, right? Which is probably the whole point of the thing anyway. When they started this in this industry, but you've proven that to us. Before we go though, you think about the end of the year. I mean, we have a month left after this episode gets out with this audience. And so I know all of us are thinking about the anxieties of Christmas and the new year and 2024 and with the shit we didn't do in 2023. So what would you say to them? Because you seem to have this amazing perspective on, yeah, didn't work, next. Oh, that worked great. You're very easygoing with it. And I think that could add a lot of value to our listeners here, where the anxiety that comes with the end of the year and the beginning of next is second to none. I see it every day. You see it every day. And so help us find almost a grounded peace in going into the remainder of the year. How do you stay with that? Is that something you practice or is it just how you are?
Oh man, I'm not gonna lie. Like I have dark, I'll have a dark, dark thoughts, anxiety, like borderline, depressing moments, and or several days after maybe I did or said something, or whatever, one night on a Saturday, and like I spend Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday just like with my head in my hands. But I think it's all about, we all get knocked down. You definitely got to get up and fight again. Nobody likes a quitter, and you got to find some. And it might be something as easy as going to work out, go run or and lift weights, and that'll be your catalyst for feeling good, and you'll say, okay, I'm improving myself, or I'm trying to get better, and then set little, and then I'll set little. I mean, man, I'm going through it right now. Like, I'm not gonna lie. Like, I had a difficult time in Vegas. I was loud. Drank too much. I mean, I got Vegas. I Vegased myself. And wasn't smart about. Nothing catastrophic. Thank goodness. But it's important to learn lessons, even and you hope it's not catastrophic to learn lessons. A lot of the times it takes that for you to get your butt in gear. So I came home and I felt bad about myself, and I was like, "What are you doing? Why would you do that?" Like, you're I was there as a representative of Bravo. I've gotta, be the best version of myself, but that's not gambling at the blackjack table till 4 a.m. and crushing bourbon and gingers. Like, that's just not what I was there to do, but I did it and thought I was at a bachelor party and not at BravoCon, basically. But again, nothing bad happened. It's just, I'm tough on myself. You got to be tough on yourself, but not too tough, and that's how I feel. And so what I did was I went to Athens, Georgia last weekend for the football game. I went to Georgia and we played Ole Miss, and I was like, okay, Shep, I was driving there. It's like, you're going to be in your old college town where a lot of your old friends, and it's a long day. The game's at 7 o'clock. What are you going to do? Like, I threw the gauntlet down at my own feet. And I said, how are you going to react? Like, what are you going to do? And man, I had a great time. I kept it in the road. And I was just like, yes, you know, and I came home like triumphantly. So as much as you allow yourself to be hard on yourself, allow yourself to exalt yourself as well. That's how I feel. And I mean, you don't want too many peaks and valleys, but you know, pat yourself on the back every now and then and set little tiny goals and accomplish them.
Couldn't have said it better myself. I think there's a lot to learn from you. I know we'll have another episode probably down the line. Maybe next year's BravoCon, who knows where you'll see Jeff again with us, but.
As you said, I mean, I kind of want to cover this because I think it's important. And I was really thinking about it today. As I was playing golf with my two sober friends and they work in the recovery world. They work for recovery centers and they love golf. And I took them out to play golf and I'm talking to them. I'm like, you know, it strikes me because we have our generation. There's a lot of people that are in recovery or gone to recovery. I was like, our parents' generation, almost nobody. I was like, what is this? And I was trying to examine it because I love to think about things and the machinations of things. And so, you know, one of the explanations was it was such a stigma in our parents' age that like, you'd sweep it under the rug. And so you live and, you know, that one person that really needed to go to rehab was just that kooky uncle or whatever, you know what I mean? And, but my opinion was, wow, like, what about, was it just everything was at our fingertips in college? Cause I remember it was, and we just went hard. We went hard. And then people got married, had kids, and they didn't know what else. They just reverted back to their ways. And now the chickens are coming home to roost basically. And so that's what I'm thinking about right now. Because I'm like behaviorally, like I think about things like this. Cause I mean, you got to consider everything and to be a really mindful person. And I love hanging out with my sober friends. I have a lot of them and we had a lot of fun together. And now, you know, their life was spiraling in the wrong direction and they got right. And I'm really proud of them and happy for them, but it's a larger issue that I'm really kind of, I'd love to like almost like do research on and maybe write a book, but I don't know if I'm qualified to do that.
I think you are. And it's a great point you hit on. And thank you for bringing it back up too. It's like the world of addiction is a very strong place right now for a lot of folks. And it touches home anybody who's listening too. Like we all get to points sometimes where it's like, hey, listen, I need some help. Could look like a variety of different levels, but to your point, something to look into in terms of where you want to maybe help the world.
And what doesn't help also is the social media aspect. Everybody's showing their fabulous life everywhere. And it's not even keeping up with the Joneses anymore. It's like keeping up with the rich and famous or whatever, you know, what, you know, beach here, mountains here, opera ski, champagne. And it causes a depression, I think, to a certain degree. So it's all there. I mean, it's a witch's cauldron of stuff going on right now. And we're just all doing our best, aren't we?
That's right. And maybe we can stay off social media. Maybe that's a challenge. You just brought up a challenge for all of our listeners. You know what I mean? Like find your place in where you can be a little bit more at peace with social media and not try to compare yourself so much. It's a great place to start because at the end of the day, like that doesn't help on top of everything else someone might have going on in their life. Right. Sure. And that's exactly absolutely the greatest point you could have made. Shep, I'm excited for this season, man. I know I watched one episode. Now time to go watch the rest. I wanted to chat with you before we got to do that. And, you know, for what it's worth, I'm excited to see what projects you have coming out for next year and what, you know, whatever else show up on that podcast. I'm excited to see you and your friend that works in news, figure that out too. I mean, if you start doing, there's a lot to learn from you and maybe listen, who knows, addiction might be a topic on that, down the line with.
I would love that. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, knowledge is power, you know, man.
That's right. Well, listen, it was great to get to know you. If you're listening, thanks for tuning in. There's a million podcasts out there, and this was the Men of the Hour. We have Shep Rose, and of course, he's from Bravo's Southern Charm, which will air every Thursday, right? Day after on Peacock. I know he's heard that 10,000 times, and it's true. You get to go watch Southern Charm now. You said season 9. And so there's a lot that you guys probably would want to catch up on before
the
getting
ratings there. Are great. It's a great season, guys. And I'm not blowing smoke. I swear it's actually good. Like I'm watching it and I'm like, ooh, this is good. And I'm up on the screen.
Right. Shep, thank you for being vulnerable and honest. We learned a lot from you today. So thanks for coming on the podcast, man.
My pleasure.
Hey friends, Justin again. Well, that was the conversation today, and I hope you took plenty away from it. For those who keep coming back to this podcast, I want to say thank you for always being here and growing with my guests and I over the years. And if you're new to the Men of the Hour show, thank you for being here, and I'd love for you to come back next time by clicking that subscribe button. Oh, and for all of us tuning in right now, I'd love to hear your thoughts on today's episode by leaving a rating and review right where you're listening. Until next week, I'm your host, Justin Crawford. Continue taking care of yourself and inspiring others to do the same.